turning your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll try to do two things at once. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Then also go with me, if you can, please, to 1 Kings chapter 17. And by way of introduction, I'm honored and be privileged part of this missions conference and a Lighthouse Baptist Church Vision 2020 as to reach their street, to reach their community, to reach their town, their county, their country, and the world. And as the pastor said earlier that, hey, we are in a different mode right now. I know we have this internet live streaming, but it is a time to get alone with God. And I hope you understand that God, he's always on our side, and he wants us to hold on to him in faith. And as we prepare, as this thing comes to an end, Lord willing, here, May 3rd, there at your church, and of course, also in Tennessee, where I'm preaching from this morning, North Carolina, and I'm going to be preaching in Canada and all across the country. I just pray that we never lose this idea and thought that God has given us an opportunity to not only does he call us and send us, but for us to invest our lives in reaching the world from him. And what a time to serve, and what an opportunity. And I pray this morning as Lighthouse Baptist Church here looks at their missions conference, the very first one, as the pastor said, Sunday, it is a commission. And God has commissioned us, the Great Commission, and to go to all the world, out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in. And tonight, or this morning, what we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And keep in mind tonight, Lord willing, I'll be preaching at the 7 o'clock hour. And the message tonight is going to be On Purpose, Your Macedonian Call. And here today, I'm going to be starting again with the Church of Macedonia and look at it and then use an illustration. And the message is entitled today, The Example of Macedonian Giving. For ministries to go, God's got it taken care of. God's always going to take care of his business, but he uses churches like yours and mine and people across the world to get his ministry out to support the missionaries and the projects. So let's take a look at chapter 8, verse 1. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth here. The Bible says this, rather, that's the church. We do you to wit, or know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. See, God had touched these people's hearts. And they weren't wealthy, they weren't rich, they were under some persecution, they were in a real tight time, kind of like we are today. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power, I bear record, Paul writes, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this gift was the support for the ministries. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Isn't that unbelievable? Doesn't that, especially verse 5, first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You know, I want you to understand today as we look at these thoughts here for just a couple of moments, I want to give you a little, by way of introduction, I want you to see the preciousness of their example. Verse 2 tells us here that they were in deep poverty. Verse 2 says that it was a trial of affliction. But you know what? That did not stop them from giving. The abundance of their joy abounded into their riches. Man, God put on their heart. It's not what a man doesn't have. It's what a man does have. And I want you to understand, when you study the scriptures, nowhere in scripture does God ever ask anybody to support his ministry or missions or outreach unless they already have it. That is the preciousness of this. Number two, I want you to see the pattern of their example. Look at verse 3. It says, they gave to their power. I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. Man, by faith, they stepped up to the plate as God had touched their hearts. And they're a pattern for us to see today. That's why Paul writes these first five verses under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And third, I want you to see the purpose of their example. Look what it says in verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. You see, they were going to give this. God put it on their heart to support the ministry. And lastly, I want you to see verse 5, the power of their example. Verse 5 makes this statement, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. I believe with all my heart it's God's will for Lighthouse Baptist Church to have missions in their ministry, in their program there at the church, in their bus ministry, in their outreach across the world. And this morning, what I want to do is give you an example of Macedonia giving. How these missionaries, God calls missionaries. God leads folks in churches like yours to send missionaries and to support missionaries for the cause of Christ around the world. And just as he did the Great Commission in the book of Matthew and Acts chapter 1:8, God gives us the power and strength and the willingness to do this. So I want you to join me in your Bibles, please, if you'll go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to read verse 13 through verse 16. And I want you to see this and let it set the table for our message. Because we're going to look at a widow lady, very poor. And I mean, she's on her last meal with her child. And I want you to pick it up as Elijah is on a mission for the Lord to go on his way to Mount Carmel. And many scholars say that he stayed with this house in this house for between 18 months and 30 months, almost 3 years. And I want you to catch what it says in verse 13 as Elijah speaks to this widow woman. And we'll keep in chapter 17 pretty much for the rest of the message. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring them to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she, now watch this, and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I want you to join me today as we take a look at this, in this journey, in this message, an example of Macedonian giving. I want you to understand also, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul writes to the church of Philippi, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches." So God, in our heart this morning, we're wanting to reach the world for Christ, but we also want to talk about missions and giving to missions so the missionaries can operate, start a church from scratch, win people to Christ and discipleship them. But God always has a way. I'm going to show you today here the first thought about this lady. We're going to pick up the story in chapter 17, verse 1. We want to take a look at her plight here. You look at chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite. You know he'd announced judgment upon Ahab. And he said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, for whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence and turn the eastward and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan." See, God is leading his man here. "It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook and have commanded the ravens. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. See, God controls everything. And back in 1 Corinthians, we read earlier, God put on the heart of these churches, the Macedonia, put on their heart to take care of the ministry and that ministry outreach. Here in this chapter 17, Elijah's doing God's work, and he's got some ravens bringing him some food, and he's drinking out of the brook. You know, I was preaching up in Alaska, and they have ravens up there. They call them dumpster ducks, because what they do is they duck down in the dumpster, and they pull out bags of groceries or refuge or McDonald's bags. I've seen them do this and bang it off the ground, split it open. Man, them ravens are tough birds. How would you like to have a raven right in the middle of God's will, missionaries, right in the middle of the vision that God's put in your heart to do, that God's going to take care of you with a bird and a creek? As you read the story onward, it said he did accordingly. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. In verse 6, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." I want you to catch this. There in Zarephath. By the way, most folks don't know who the mayor or the governor of Zarephath was. Well, that was Jezebel's daddy. Man, does God have a sense of humor or what? And I want you to catch this. God's telling Elijah, and he's a wanted man, to go right into Zidon. Now watch this in verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came into the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, folks, water was very expensive in those droughts. Amen. And she, I don't know how much she had left, but it says she was going to fetch it. She had no problem with that. And he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Folks, I want to give you four thoughts this morning about this lady, this widow lady. You talk about an affliction. You talk about poor. She was on her last meal, and she had that little child with her. Her family had gone away from her. You don't talk, there's no husband mentioned, and she's a widow, of course. There's no aunts or uncles or grandfathers or clan, or and they're all in the area. I mean, I think Zarephath was on its last leg. And I want you to catch this. Number one, I want you to see her plight. Look at her plight with me. Verse 9 says, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Now, behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. There's not a lot going on in Zarephath, but Elijah went. Her plight was bad. God did not send it to somebody with a 401k or a credit card, or did not send him to the Hampton Inn or a five-star place to stay. And she didn't have much going on at all. You look close at her plight. Verse 12 says this, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I've only got a little bit of flour in my hand. I got some oil in this container. It's just me and my little boy. We're going to eat our last meal, and we're going to die. We're going to split this biscuit, all right? And when I see her plight, how bad it was, I keep in mind what the Bible says in chapter 8, verse 10, and this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. See, God was working on her heart, and she did not have much going on. She was poor. And I point out three things here. God can use anybody to support his ministry. Don't care what the situation is. Amen. Number two, your physical and financial circumstances are irrelevant to God. It says in 2 Corinthians, as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. It's not what a man hath or hath not. It's what God puts in his heart to do. And then it says, let us all be what? A cheerful giver. I just want to encourage you, God can use anybody. Number two, your circumstances, physical or financial, are irrelevant. And number three, God always takes the credit. She had nothing. She paints a very bleak picture. She says, preacher, missionary, listen, this is all I got. I'm on my last leg. I can get you that water, but man, that biscuit is just for me and my boy. We're not going to make it. You know, when I see that, I think of what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as it were a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. She didn't have much. She said, here, you can take the water, but that's about all I got. I got this little bit of flour. Folks, she don't look like the ideal person. However, no matter what your plight is, these are the people that God uses. Number two, not only do we want to look at her plight, number two, let's look at her preparation. If you look at our text, what it says in chapter 17, verse 9, it said, arise and get thee to Zarephath, Elijah, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Now watch this. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Man, this is amazing. This is a Gentile lady. And he says, so he arose and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called unto her, fetch me, I pray thee, give me a drink of water that I may drink. Give me a vessel. You know, folks, when I look at that and think of this thought this morning, God had prepared her heart. It says in our text, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, as I already told you this morning, the Bible says that they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. I believe it's God's will, and God wants to prepare your heart today to help with the missions outreach and the ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church and around this world to give into missions. And see, God had prepared her heart, and God wants to prepare your hearts. Number two, God wants to prepare us all. You know, Jesus thought so much of this woman as he's preaching in Luke chapter 4. I'll read it to you. He says in Luke 4:24, the Lord speaking, he said, and he said, I verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, the city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Can I tell you, God wants to prepare her. He did prepare her heart, and God wants to prepare your heart. I don't know, God may be calling you into missions, but I'm telling you, God wants to get your heart ready, not only to serve him, but also invest in his ministry. She knew who Elijah was. She knew he was a wanted man. And she knew that God's hand was on him. I believe she was a believer. She knew that God was all over him, and she wanted to help God get him where he needed to be. And God put it on her heart. And when Elijah asked her, he said, listen, now I want you to get, not only give me that drink of water, but can you give me a little bit of that cake first? Can you give me something to eat first? And folks, she stuttered a little bit. I want you to look at my text in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. As I go to my third thought, that is this. Number one, I mean, I want you to catch this with her. Her plight was bad. Number two, but God had prepared her heart. And Elijah was talking to her on what to do. Number three, can I give you the performance? The performance of this. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it tells us in verse 12, now, if there first be a willing mind, it's accepted according that a man hath, not according that he hath not. For I mean not that one men be eased and ye burdened, but by at this time supply to their want. Not what they need, but what they, you know, to their need, that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there be many be equality. If I can get this out across you about the performance, she believed the promise that Elijah told her. She stepped forth, and she gave. You know, Bible tells me here in my text today, and she went in verse 15 and did according to the saying of Elijah. You know, she got that barrel of meal, and she got that oil, and she made that biscuit, and she put it together, and in the performance of this, and she cooked that thing, and she baked that thing. And instead of cutting it two ways, for her and her son, she cut it for her and Elijah. See, she believed. I think she went to bed that night. I believe the oil was gone, and I believe that their barrel was completely empty to the bottom. There was no meal or flour in it. When she got up the next morning, I believe this with all my heart, when she got up the next morning, I believe there was enough flour in there, not only to feed her and her son, but there was enough for three people. You see, my Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 4, that it says this, Paul's talking, now, for even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again into my necessity, not because Paul says I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And Paul says this, but I have all and abounded and am full, and having received Epaphroditus, the things which was sent from you. Boy, Paul's talking about giving to missions, giving to his ministry here. And I want you to understand, this lady, when she went to bed that night, the barrel was empty. But when she got up the next day, I believe, as it said in the chapter 8, verse 11, 2 Corinthians, she performed the doing of it. She cooked again. And the Bible says that she kept that cooking going on, and her house, we'll get into that in just a moment. She profited by this because she did what God put in her heart to do. She gave, I want you to say thirdly on this. Number one, she believed the promise. Number two, she performed the promise. And number three, she gave to him first. It's very clear that she gave to Elijah first. And we need to give to God first. She gave her time. That little bit of treasure she had, she gave what she had had. She gave all she had. And every day after that, God kept giving the increase. And it's according to the man hath. You know, I want you to go with me for just a moment and understand she was in a bad plight. She did not have a lot going on. See, that tells me God, he can use anybody. Number two, it's not your financial or physical circumstances. It's a heart issue. And God always takes the credit. As God prepared her heart, God touched her heart. He touched her thinking process. And I'm telling you what, when you get saved, God touches our thinking process. He touches our heart. And I'll tell you what, and then she began to perform the doing of it, the performance. She believed that promise. She made her way to that kitchen, and she gave it to God first. Now, folks, most of us stop the preaching right there, but that's, I believe, where the blessing really begins. Now, I want to give you the last thought, and that is this. She profited. Elijah profited. The lad profited. Can I add this? Her family profited. And more importantly, God was honored and glorified. Because from this point, Elijah, God moved him up Mount Carmel. You know the story. He dealt with the prophets of Baal, and Israel was halted between two opinions. God had a mission for Elijah, and Elijah had to fulfill that mission, but God needed to get him ready, and God had to get that support for him. And you had that this meal of bread, I want you to catch the story. I want you to see this in chapter 17 and verse 16. Look what it says with me in our text of 1 Kings. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of oil, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. But I want you to catch something up in verse 15. The Bible says that she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, or she did God's word. And it says that she and he, Elijah, now watch this, not the lad, but watch this, and her house did eat many days. Some scholars say, and I've studied this, this was her clan. This was her cousins. This could have been her mom, her dad, her brother, and her sister. I don't know how many it was, but I'm telling you what, my God shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory. And I believe that first day that she had a biscuit for two, but it fed three. I think the next day she fed all three of them, and the boy and her. I think her family began to maybe smell the aroma of the bread or understand that God was blessing her. And to make a long story short, I believe that some, let's say on the second day, maybe her brother came with his family, maybe brought four or five. Can I tell you, if four of them came and we already have three, when she fed everybody that day, I believe the next day there was enough in there to feed her and her whole house, her whole clan. And the Bible's very clear. She profited from this. She gave, it says this, she and he and her house did eat many days. You know, I don't have to explain the math to you, but I don't know how many were fed at the end of that thing, but that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil never ran out. It never stopped until there was a sound of abundance of rain. After Elijah had completed his missions on top of Mount Carmel. And I just want to encourage you, as Elijah profited, he got fed, he got ready, he got prepared, and he went up on that mountain. And I'm telling you what, he did what God put on his heart to do. You've read it. He prayed, and fire came out of heaven. You know that. They lifted up that altar. He accepted that altar. And the Bible says in chapter 18 that they stopped halting the nation between the two opinions. Is Baal God or is God God? And I'm telling you, if you want to read chapter 18 later on today, and they worship, they turn to the God of heaven. Isn't it amazing that God used a little widow woman to take care of his ministry to get Elijah where God wanted him? And one of the greatest revivals recorded in the Old Testament took place. So I want to encourage you this morning. I don't care what your plight is. I don't care. But I want you to understand God wants, don't care how poor you are, God wants to prepare your heart. I want you to understand also that in this preparation, God, he wants you to perform. Boy, he works on our hearts, not just to sit there, but to do. And it's not an educational thing. It's not where you come from. I mean, this lady didn't have much of an education, I don't think, and she was poor as they could be, and there's a famine going on, and she's getting ready for her last meal, but God had been working on her heart. somewhere God had got a hold of her heart. Jesus tells us that God used her to get his missions done on Mount Carmel, working through Elijah. And her prophet, well, she survived that. Amen. Elijah survived that famine. They got to Mount Carmel. They got their rain. They didn't need this supply anymore, because with the rain come the grain. Amen. And even she had an issue not too long after that where the boy died and Elijah came back and brought him back to life. I mean, she was blessed. I want you think of this. When it says in Philippians chapter 4 that Paul said, you gave once and again, not because I asked, but this shall be added to your account. It's not just about finances, not just about blessing, but it's about God blessing our lives when we do what God puts in our heart to do. You know, being in the missions all these years, I was starting a church several years ago down in Trinidad and Tobago. We had a missionary come home off the field, and instead of doing furlough reporting in my churches, I went right down there with my wife and daughter and had an opportunity as the country opened up. And so we was getting ready to start a church. And for 10 weeks, we visited houses in this little place called Arapero. And we had over 100 promises that was going to come out on that first Sunday. We rented a little building. We rented 10 tables, got enough food to feed about 90 people. Man, we had it already prepared. Church is going to start at 9:30. And I got up to preach, and there was no one there except our two pastor friends and their wives and two little kids and Selena. Selena was three or four at the time. And so we're sitting there, and I wait till it starts at 9:30. No one came. 9:35, no one's there. 9:40, still no one there. So I tell you what, I was feeling lower than roadkill, laying in a ditch. I mean, it was, man, God, what's happening here? You called us to do this, to help this. I thought, man, this is not good. And just as I got ready to preach, we'd sung a couple of songs. I'm on my first point, preaching to my helpers, my wife and Selena. A little boy opened, the door was open. He stepped in the door. His name was Michael. I'll never forget him. It was a low time. I was really kind of discouraged. But when he walked in there, he smiled and he said that he only had one tooth. And he said, I'll never forget this. He said, where's the Yank at starting the church? And I said, that's me. Come on in. And that little boy came forward, and I preached salvation. You know, I preached John 3:16. I preached all have sinned to come. And I preached it. Would you like to trust Christ as your personal Savior? And his hand went up. And of course, Selena's always went up in those days. But his hand went up and said, yeah, I want to go to heaven. And I said, do you understand this? And he said, no, but I want to go to heaven. And my two assistants that were helping me start this church, you know, they set him down, and we all three sat there and talked with him. And within 15 minutes, that young boy trusted Christ, his personal Savior. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Then I took him home. He's the only one that attended that day. And I took him home, and he's living with his grandmother. His mother had abandoned him. As I took him up the hill, I drove the car there. And as I got out, we went to the back of the house. And this woman, she's a good sized lady. She had a chicken feed business in the back of her house. In Trinidad and Tobago, there's always about a little over a million people on them two islands, and there's always 2 million chickens alive there. Back in those days when I was there, the number one KFC in the world was located in San Fernando, Trinidad and Tobago. They like their chicken, amen? And so she looked at me and said, you be the pastor, in her Trini language, and I said, yes. And she said, well, I'm glad my grandson came today. How many came to church? And I said, well, he was the only one. And with that, I'll never forget this, she handed me her version of homemade orange pop in a used Pepsi bottle with a cork on top. Now, all you missionaries know, you always keep a Coke or Pepsi with you somewhere. So if you have to drink or eat something, you swallow that quick after it, that'll kill it. Amen. Lord willing. And so she said, well, preacher, I'm telling you what, I'm sorry that no one came. I got to run my store on Sunday mornings. That's how we survive. And she looked at me and said, she said, missionary, if you pray for my chicken feed business, I'll pray that God will bless your little church planting endeavor. Well, it didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I said, okay. She was a lady that knew Christ as her Savior. She gave me a testimony. So I said, I'll pray for you. And she said, well, I'll pray for you. Well, the next week rolled around, and on Sunday morning at 9:30, her grandson showed up again, and he brought 8 of his mates with him. I mean, you talk about church growth. We went from 1 to 8. And I mean, we preached to them, and the next week we had about 15, 16 come. Within 3 months, we had 45 young people coming. Everybody's under the age of 18. And I mean, they're coming to hear me preach. Man, my wife's teaching a Sunday school class, and I'm teaching the teens, and we're having preaching, you know. And about 3 months in, some adults started coming. To make a long story short, that church has run over 120 in 12 months. Half of them were adults. Man, we're packing out this little, about half a basement of this huge house, and it's wall-to-wall people. Man, they're coming to hear my preaching, and it's great. And God, we even got 2 acres of land given to us. And somebody wrote a check to that new little church and gave us enough money to lay some blocks. And somebody else paid for the walls to go up. And then a couple of churches in the States give us enough money to put the roof on that. And we had a little church, Arapaho Bible Baptist Church, on 2 acres of land, running over 100 people, just a year old. And I handed that church over to the two nationals that helped me. Then my furlough time was over, and I'm going to go back to Australia, New Guinea. And so as I was coming back to the States, Sandy had flown back, and Selena, and I was packing everything, heading back home, got a church established. But I was going to swing by and see the lady that owned the chicken feed. But now she started to come into church. She was sitting in the back. She said, "I want to see a preacher before you leave." So we went there, and I went there and sat down and talked with her. And she handed me another bottle of that orange pop. Amen. And she said, "Preacher, I'm so glad God used you to start a church here." And I said, "Yes, I praise the Lord for that." And man, people started coming. They listened to my preaching and God's word. And man, God really blessed me. And she stopped me in mid-sentence and said, she said, "Preacher, it's not about you. It's about the chicken feed." And I looked at her and said, "Ma'am, what are you saying?" She said, "Preacher, did you pray for my chicken feed?" "Yes, I did." "Did you pray for God to bless me?" I said, "I did." But she said, "You know, no one was going to come to your church. That first Sunday, you got 8 new boys coming. I and what I did was when they come to buy the chicken feed for their chickens at their home, I would knock 50 cents off a bag." And then when the teenagers started coming and the church started growing a little bit, I got the idea, if you're over the age of 12, I'll knock $1 off each bag of the price of that chicken feed. And then when adults were like $2, husband and wife come, I'd knock $5 off a bag of chicken feed. She said, "Preacher, you thought you did that church? Oh, I think it's my chicken feed business to get him there. But you know what? God will use anybody," she said, "anywhere, at any time, in the right way to get his gospel out." Oh, man, did that hurt my feelings. But I walked away from that meeting thinking of this, and I want you all to catch this. God used that lady. Yes, she was a widow. She was in my ministry. God used me to pray for her, and I had no idea how God was working till it was over with. And I want to tell you this, the example of Macedonian giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5, and this lady, she gave herself unto the Lord, for this was God's will for her. And I'm serving God down there because I gave myself to the Lord, and that was God's will for me. And God will always supply his need for his missionary and his ministry. But understand, God will use anybody if their heart and mind is right with him. The example of Macedonian giving. As we start our invitation, I get ready to hand it over to Pastor Walsh here in just a minute. I don't know what your plight is, but I know that God will prepare your heart this week in this missions conference. Some people say that a missions conference is like a 3 to 5 day business meeting with the Lord and what we're going to do the next year, and that's true. I pray God will prepare your heart. Because I want God to bless you. As Paul says in Philippians, it'll be added to your account in that plight and in that preparation. You got to believe the promises of God. Then you'll see how the power of God will come through in your life and ministry. Pastor Walsh.
God bless you, Brother Long. The Lord does amazing things. And I have known him to do some amazing things in my own life. When things look like they're totally impossible. In fact, it's interesting, like the story of Gideon, it was an impossibility for them to win against the Midianites, but God says, "Well, no, let's make it, that's too many. You'll all think that you did it." And so he brings it down to just 10,000. "No, that's too many." And he brings it down to 300. Why? Because he wants to teach us that he is the one that has the power and the might to do what he's called us to do. He calls us to do it, and then he does it through us. I've noticed in my own life how many times he has provided our needs. Times when I didn't know where the family didn't know where our next meal was going to come from. Years in college and been laid off from work and don't know what's going to happen. And we continue to give our 10% to the Lord of what little we had coming in, and the Lord blessed, and all our needs were tended to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. You know, the lady, there was a widow. Interesting thing about the word widow, it means more than the fact that her husband was dead. It has the idea of being destitute. Actually, the fact is that she's going to be living off of those that's around her. But the fact is, God blessed her. When she put the Lord first in her life, God blessed her in such a way. Now, she wasn't getting rich. But not only was she not living off of others, others were living off of her. She was able to provide for her house when really she was going to be at the mercy of her house to provide for her. And I also think this is interesting. She was Zidonian, the enemy, if you will. God is no respecter of persons, but those who will do righteously are accepted by him. I want to encourage you to let the Lord speak to your heart. What would he have you do? In your giving, in your support of missionaries, in your efforts, your own physical efforts in the work of God. You know, God asks, you know, Elijah, it seems kind of presumptuous. Elijah says, well, I want you to feed me first. Now, the prophet, of course, was a representative of God. They knew that. And so it was as if God was saying, you take care of what I ask you to do first. Take that step of faith, and we'll see where it goes. So God asked, and you can imagine what's going through her mind. What do you mean? This is all I have. I don't have anything else. This is all I have. She gave all she had. And then God provided all she needed according to the word of the Lord. Years ago, we were having a conference at the church where I was at the time, an assistant there. And we had several preachers, and it was on the platform, and I had done all the music for the program and line things up and make sure the platform was ready and organize things and so forth and so on. And the preacher stood there and said, you know, all the preachers here, I'll take you out to lunch. All the ones were on the platform. I'll take you out to lunch, my treat. And I wasn't making much and having a hard time making ends meet. And I thought to myself, selfishly, wow, he didn't invite me. I mean, I was the one, all these guys stood up and preached a message. They've preached before probably many times. They just stood up and talked, and I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off all these weeks trying to put this thing together, and he didn't offer me lunch. I kind of feel a little sorry for myself, and I got things packed up, and they'd already left, and all the rest of the preachers, and I was heading out. I saw a young preacher boy that was there. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go over and have lunch anyway. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'll just pay for it myself. I don't really can't afford it, but I'm going to pay for it myself. And I saw this young preacher boy there. I said, hey, you're going to go over for lunch? And he says, no, I don't think so. And I could see, and I don't know, I could just tell young preacher boy didn't have any money. And I said, well, if you'll come, it'll be my treat. Oh, well, okay, all right, I'll come with you. And so we went over to across the street to the smorgasbord, and I paid lunch for the young boy and the preacher boy, and we had a good time, and we kind of sat by ourselves there, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to be a blessing. Well, a little bit later, after all that was over, got back over to the church and happened to go to the mailbox. There, we had a large staff there, and we just had a mailbox. And in my mailbox was an envelope. And in the envelope, a little note from the preacher. And he said, I should have invited you for lunch, but I didn't. So here's some money for you and your guest. And the fact is, there was enough in there for me and for my guest, and some left over. All I'm saying is, will you give your being, if you will, to the Lord? God takes care of you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants to use you and see great and mighty things occur if we'll give ourselves to him. Would you bow your head with me if you're there in a place you can bow your head? And let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to our hearts here this morning. And Lord, you have given us a great opportunity. And again, Lord, you're preparing the world. I mean the whole world. They're looking for hope. They're getting rather desperate. And Lord, there's a lot of things going on in many different parts of the world that are much more atheistic. People are actually giving in under the pressure. There are a lot of folks who have actually taken their lives because they don't know how to deal with all this, which is unusual, which it doesn't make sense. They're afraid of losing their lives, so they take their lives. And Lord, there are souls out there that need to be saved. And there's no vision. And where there's no vision, the people perish. Lord, prepare our hearts. You're preparing the world for us to give the gospel. Lord, help us to prepare to give the gospel to the world. We need you. Speak to the hearts of these dear people. Lord, use these days in a great and mighty way. May you bring your spirit down upon us, upon all those who hear the word, many who are being prepared to hear your word, the gospel. Lord, use us. May we be clean vessels before the Lord. Be used of you to deliver the water of life, the bread of life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And Lord, to be one then under the hearing of our voice that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. They've never accepted the death of Jesus Christ as full payment for their sin and trusted him as Savior. Lord, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. Use this time. Be with us as we return this evening at 7, and we will give the praise for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen. Again, I appreciate you being here with us here this morning, and we will be back tonight at 7 o'clock, Brother DeLand.